Hi, how are you?
Well, how are you? So I'm Tom Hoppenstedt, Chairman of the Kituit Board of Water Commissioners. Today is September 12th, 2018. It's 5:30 p.m. and I'd like to call our meeting to order at this point. We have Commissioner Campbell here, Commissioner Robinson, and Superintendent Wiseman. Our first order of business is for public comment. Do we have any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to the minutes, which I have not had a chance to read myself, so I just need to take a quick perusal. Take a look at those.
Those came previously by email.
Yeah.
I did look at
those. I did too.
That's all set.
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes from the August 15th meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we should have some warrants to sign.
Get our truck fuel from CLMM.
Yeah.
They have their own pumping
station.
Yeah. If you look at the price on there, it's not a bad price for the district either. Yeah.
The fire department does the same thing there, too.
You getting a new truck soon?
We're getting prices right now, and they're having trouble getting them to me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People come and bid because it's a unique truck with the hydraulic back and everything else. Some of them don't want to use the company that we used before because they've moved to Rhode Island, so they have different companies that they're looking into.
All right. I'm going to back up real quick because Amy just came in. Amy, just back up to public comment because I know you were running late. Do you have anything to share with us? Anything you want? Okay. Then we'll move forward to the water quality report.
Okay. I don't know, at one point, Brian's got some stuff there. I don't know if we want to move
on. I just wonder if it might be appropriate if we just do skip over this. Cause
yeah, just to get into the cost of service traveling to get here and everything at one point.
Would you like to do that? We'll jump right to you.
Go out of our little agenda here and let you go ahead and do what you have to do.
Is that okay with the commissioners?
Yeah, because if we needed to get into discussion about other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to be worried about leaving someone there hanging.
Great. Good idea. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Do you have any extras? I didn't know.
Fran Parks is on our prudential committee. She's in attendance tonight, so I'd like her to have a copy.
If you want to grab that mic up there, just introduce yourself and make sure you're talking to it. That'd be great.
So we're jumping to cost of service study update from Tata and Howard.
So my name is Ryan Nealon. I'm associate with Tata and Howard. We are working on a cost of service study. So we have some information to present tonight just to give you an update on where we're at and everything we've done to date. So we handed out a little package here, which I'll run through, and you can stop me at any point in time. If you've got questions, I'll try to explain it well. So what we've done is we tried to work with the water department and the district treasurer to come up with the overall expenses for the district. Mm-hmm. And once we've come up with all those expenses, we've tried to determine sort of what's the cost of service associated with the water department. So it's a portion of the overall district. So that's what this spreadsheet here essentially is, a large summary of everything that we feel should be allocated to water department expenses to be covered by water rates.
Okay.
So I'll run through it now. We've kind of highlighted things in some different colors, and I'll get to that, which just kind of makes it easier to sum things up in the end. But looking at this page one, at the top we have the fiscal years, just FY15 through FY24. FY15 through 18 are historical numbers, so that's past. We know those numbers. The appropriation FY19 is what was approved and appropriated for the water department's budget this year. And then FY20 through FY24 are projections for future budget that we have come up with, working with the treasurer and the water department, and applying some escalators to each line item based on how we historically have seen those numbers go up and what we're projecting for the future. So this whole first page should look familiar. It's the water department's budget by line item. First part is water department salaries and wages. So we have all those. We do a subtotal, which is that line in blue. And then we get into item two, which is water department expenses. We have our maintenance costs. And then we have operations costs. And each of those are subtotaled in blue. And again, this is all just similar to how the water department's budget is typically laid out. So those are our totals there. And then if you flip to page two, this is a continuation of the water department's budget from the previous page. And at this first sort of at the end of a miscellaneous, you have these three items, then we have a miscellaneous subtotal, and then below that, we have water department, WD salaries, wages, and expenses total. So that's essentially the total water department budget that you would typically see. And again, FY15 through 18 are the historical numbers. FY19 is what's appropriate, and then our projections for FY20 through 24. Now, this is just the direct water department budget. And then right below that line, we have what's in orange is this 90% water department salaries, wages, and expense total. So I will come back to this, but we've come up with a means to calculate of the water department's budget how much should be paid by the rates and how much should be funded by taxes. So that 90% is what's to be covered by the rates. Now, like I said, I'll come back to how we got to that number. But in the interest of getting through this expense sheet, I want to keep going with this part. So item three, capital plan. We work with the water department again to come up with these. There's just a few items here over the next 5 years on what's coming down the road for future expenses in terms of capital. We've carried a pilot study, which has an estimate of $100,000 for it. And we worked with the treasurer to come up with how he would fund, how that would be funded, essentially a five-year loan. So you see to the right of the pilot study, it's got 23,740. That actually extends to FY25, but that would first start to be paid in FY21. Vehicle purchase scheduled for FY23, $45,000. And then security equipment, upgrades, maintenance. That $16,000 in FY24 is essentially future camera replacement. There's some cameras and security equipment being purchased this year. They projected to have a five-year useful life or so. So we're carrying replacement of the cameras. And you'll see that next to that item, it says 50% water rate allocation. We're essentially saying that it's security for pump stations, tanks, and those types of things. And it provides both protection for the stations, which provide water to the tanks, which is used for fire protection and used for potable water. So we're not fully funding that through the rates, but instead 50% on the water rates. And then under that, there's a basic use capital improvement. That's just that number right there. You can see in FY19 on is $3,000 credit. That's a fee for any new service. We're carrying five new services per year, water services. So that's a $600 fee that's brought in to revenue. 600 times five gives you $3,000. So that's just a credit. And talking with the treasurer, that gets put under capital. It comes through as a capital credit. So that's why we've included it in the capital. So then below that item, we have a capital plan total in orange again. And you'll see that we're summing these things to these orange line items, which at the end will add up all the orange line items, and that'll be the total cost to be funded through the water rates. So that's the capital plan total. We then move to item four, which is the debt service. So here we have the various debts that the district has or will have through FY24. And again, we work with the treasurer to come up with these numbers. The numbers you see here for the debt service, again, this is just to be covered by the water rates. The actual debt and the actual annual payment for these debts are bigger, but this is just what's to be covered by the rates. And we went through each loan and each project here to determine what percentage should be covered by the rates and what percentage should be covered through taxes. And that breakdown is a single page in the back of that handout that's not stapled to this expense sheet. It's called debt service, and we call it 4A debt service. And we have essentially broken each one of those line items, those loans. We show the total loan cost. We show how much is being allocated to the water rates and how much is being allocated to taxes. We have two tank loans. For the split there's a certain volume that Within a tank is considered for fire protection based on standards, based on a 3,000 gallon per minute flow over a 3 hour period. You have a volume there that's for fire protection. We've taken that number and divided by your total volume of your two tanks. And 67.5% of the total storage in the tanks is considered fire protection. So that's how we came up with a split for the two tank ones, which shows 32.5% on the rates, 67.5% taxes. Chemical upgrades, that's the $500,000 loan. That is 100% funded through the rates. It's all associated with water quality. Water system security upgrades, $470,000. Similar to the camera, this is what's going to be funded in the near future. That's associated with the cameras and security. So again, we've done a 50-50 split there between rates and taxes. Then we have the truck for $60,000. We said 100% water rates. And then we have these three short-term debt items, which are actually coming off the books as of FY19. So we didn't go, there's multiple things within that. We didn't go through splitting those out, so we haven't done an allocation. We did not include those in the rates. So at the bottom of that 4A spreadsheet, you can see there's a total debt, there's a water rates subtotal, and there's a tax levy subtotal. The water rates subtotal is what you see if you go back to that original expense sheet, is what's carried in each of the debt service line items for the appropriate fiscal year. And then at the bottom, we have another orange. On the bottom of page 2, it's orange debt service total. So that's the total debt service to be covered by the water rates. Moving on to page 3.
Can you take a question?
Sure.
I hate to break up your flow.
No, it's okay.
I'm the new guy here, but how do you determine the 2/3 of the water sitting in the tank is reserved for fire protection? How do you decide that 2/3 of the water sitting in the tank is reserved for fire protection?
Yeah. So a tank is the fire protection, when we do calcs for sizing a water storage tank, you typically look at ISO requirements for fire flows or just what's needed based on location, if it's a commercial or residential. A typical fire flow that we would carry would be 3,000 gallons per minute for a duration of 3 hours. So when you do that math, it comes out to about 540,000, I'm kind of going off the top of my head. And then your total storage, total volume of tank storage is 800,000. So if you just take the 540,000 divided by the 800,000, that gives you your 67.5% for fire protection.
So I mean, that's a formula that makes some sense. I didn't understand about the pressure and volume as all part of it. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. No, I was actually kind of surprised by that breakout, too. I thought it would, I don't know, it just surprised me. Of the total volume.
So if you didn't have that volume, it wouldn't be able to create the pressure that the fire hoses need. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a storage volume that you need for a fire over that duration, that length of a duration. The volume really adds up. I mean, as far as drinking water, potable water, I mean, really, you need your supplies, and you could get by with some sort of smaller, you know, a small tank, a pressurized, a pneumatic tank, you know, that would hold a pressure. So the big tanks that you have are more for a peak hour type situation or fire protection. I mean, those are really what the tanks.
Or fire during a dry summer day.
I do know one of the key reasons for building the Santua tank was to have enough water in the air to create enough pressure to get to all the outlying areas. So throughout this part of town and the other side of Route 28 there, their numbers were really low. So this kind of balanced them out. Again, this kind of
high areas. Yeah, the high areas on Newtown are at the end. If you ever go Newtown, all of a sudden you go uphill as you're heading into almost into the mills. And they did have a little bit of, it was still, would reach the limits. But they had, if there was something huge in there, you had to open up everything to keep it going. Make sure all your stations were running and everything to keep the pressure going and everything.
Okay.
Now you forgot where you were.
No,
sorry.
No. So we're on page 3 of the expense sheet. Employee benefits. So we have the historical numbers, and we have the appropriated numbers for FY19. I'll go through these quick. The WD is just water department employee benefits. There's dental, health, and life. Those are direct numbers that we took from the treasurer's documents for FY19. And then there's escalators moving forward. I think it's 7% that we're using for an escalator just to project future dental, health, life costs rising. And then under that, those first three items, you see a finance department employee benefit. So we had to come up with the finance department. We wanted to come up with a way to split the benefits, the employee benefits for the folks in the finance department. So to do that, we looked at the split based on salaries and wages. So we had the total salary and wages for the water department personnel, and we have the total salaries and wages for the whole district. So we took the water department personnel salaries and divided that by the salaries of the whole district, and that's 19% of the district salaries and wages is water department personnel. So that 19% was used of the total finance department employee benefits. We took that and multiplied by 19% to come up with the number that you see here. And then below that, it goes into retired employee benefits. So again, those first three of the water department retired, dental, health, and life were direct numbers that we took from the district's budget. And then below those three, you have a finance department retired employee benefit. So we applied that same 19% allocation. And then below that, you have two bigger ticket line items. Is this retirement assessment value and a transfer to the OPEB, which is Other Post-Employment Benefits Trust Fund. And again, those are district costs, and we had to come up with a way to allocate between the water department and tax levy. So we used, again, that same split of water department personnel salaries and wages divided by the total. I didn't print out the finance department's budget. But actually, the last page of your document, 5A, which is a separate, the last single separate sheet, walks through each of those line items and how we got to the cost that's in the expense budget. So the items that you see bolded on that 5A sheet match up with the items that are in this expense sheet. And then at the bottom on the expenses sheet, we just total the employee benefit costs.
Can I ask a question there, Ryan?
Sure.
On the last, the OPEB trust fund?
Yeah.
Why do we start out at such a high rate then go down, do you know?
Yeah, so we talked with the treasurer about that. It sounded like for FY19, the appropriate amount was $375,000.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the total. I mean, we're just taking 19% and putting it in this expense sheet. But if you look at that 5A sheet, you can see the transfer to OPEB cost is $375,000 total district-wide. And we take a 19% of that and populate it into the water rates expense sheet. It's high there, and then it drops down. It sounds like there's some recovery this year for past years.
I understand. Okay.
And then it comes back down to a constant $237,000 annually, which we were told will be constant through FY24. Yeah. So that, like I said, sums up to that orange line item, employee benefits. And then we get into administrative costs, which we looked at the finance department's annual budget, and we went line by line and came up with how we should allocate those costs between the tax levy and the water rates. So a good chunk of the finance department's budget, we used the number of 34% for water rates, and that's just the number of employees in the water department compared to the number of employees district-wide. So there's more people in the fire department and things like that. So that's how we... I mean, the finance department is most, it's all administrative costs, or mostly administrative costs. So it was, you know, more people in the fire department. There's more things going on, more to address. So that's how we, that's why we use that 34% number for both salaries and wages and expenses. When you get to the insurances, we did things a little different. The property, liability, and vehicle insurance are based on actual property and vehicle values. So we looked at the property values that the water department has, for the water department buildings and things like that. And we looked at the property values overall district-wide. And that number was really high for the water department. So their portion of property insurance that we're assigning to the water rate is actually a good chunk. It's like 89%. But when you look at the vehicle insurance, it's just the opposite. Water department vehicle insurance is much lower. It's only like 4% compared to 96%. Being covered by the taxes, because obviously vehicles with the fire department is much higher. So that third item, the insurances, is based on actual property values. We have a total insurance cost, and then based on the splits between actual property values and vehicle values, that's how we assign the number here for the water rates to cover. And then when you look at insurance for workers' comp, unemployment insurance, and payroll taxes, the last three items, we used the water department salaries compared to district salaries again for those items. And at the end of that, we have a total administrative cost. Again, highlighted orange. And then you go to the last page of this expense budget. You have a water rate expenses total. So that's the total to be funded through water rates based on this cost evaluation. Below that, we have non-rate revenue. So that's revenue that the water department essentially brings in through these different line items, service connection fees, turn-on-off fees, the antenna contracts. Other, which is a variety of different things, penalties, and then the CVAC revenue. I think the CVAC revenue is credits for solar. So those are non-rate revenue that comes in that would offset that line item value that you see in orange at the top. So if you're looking at FY19, your total water rate expenses is $1,187,163, and then you have non-rate revenue in yellow of $114,622. So we subtract the yellow from the orange, and that's your balance of revenue needed, which is in green down at the bottom. That's the balance of the revenue that's needed to cover the water department expenses, essentially, or to be covered by the water rates. So that sums up how we've come to a total covered through the water rates for the next five-year period. So once we had all of this information, I don't know if we want to go back to page two, where I said we would come back to how we came up to that 90% of solely the water department's budget, why that 90% would be covered by the rates and not 100%. And that's just because there's some things that the water department does that's associated with tank maintenance, maintaining hydrants, whether it's plowing around hydrants, plowing around tanks, or mowing the grass around tanks for access, or around hydrants, or painting hydrants. There's a certain amount of cost each year that the water department, or replacing hydrants, that the water department devotes to what's essentially for fire protection items. So we summed up those items. We worked with the water department to get actual expenses and actual labor costs and hours and things like that. We came to a number. And then what we did, after we got that essentially total cost that the water department is doing for fire protection purposes or maintaining fire protection, we went back to the overall water department's budget, which is on page one, and we have these items highlighted in almost this pinkish color that are sort of the water department's direct cost that we could, of those tank maintenance costs and things like that and labor, these were the costs, or these were the categories that those fell into. So we summed up these items, the senior operator, operator B, A, station tanks maintenance, grounds maintenance, water testing, meter replacement, chemicals, electricity, and on page two, the service connects. We summed all those up. We took that cost that we came up with that the water department is providing for fire protection purposes or maintenance. We divided by the total of those items, and it comes up. We took that 90% and made it go across the whole water department budget because, say, for example, advertising, postage, printing, and stuff, you can't really come up with a direct way to determine how much of that is for fire protection, per se. It's sort of administrative-type cost.
I think it's all of it.
So so we assigned, that's how we came up with the 90%. I mean, it's we tried to be realistic in terms of what expenses the water department's really incurring on an annual basis associated with the fire protection portion.
So, Ryan, can I ask
yeah.
a question? So the pink areas then, whatever color that is, salmon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
90% of that of those items would be funded by water rates and 10% by taxes. Is that what
well,
right?
We use those items. We have the cost that we pulled together that we labor and tank maintenance, those costs that are associated with fire protection, and we divided by the sum of these items, and that gave us
that's
90%.
Okay.
That fire protection cost was only 10% of the total of these items. So that means fire protection was 10%. So the rest, 90%, covered by the rates.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple of questions, and based on this number here at the end.
Yeah.
$1,072,000, which over the next 4 years goes to $1,163,000. How much did we... Based on the current water rates, what was our income for FY18? If we're to try to figure out, you know, how to offset that, do we have a number for that?
I think I gave it to you.
I
want to
say it was around 'cause
yeah, that's kind of the bottom line question right there.
I don't think we're close.
What do you think, Fran? Am I close?
No.
No, it's not close, but it's the bottom line. I mean, that's what we want to get to, I guess. I think you hit it on the head, Don.
So we just wrapped up this whole expense thing about a week and a half ago, collecting all the information. I think that the expenses are pretty clear. At this point, we've gone through every line item as best we can. We're really confident in those numbers that are in the expense sheet. So now what we've tried to do...
Oh, page four. I understand why we would take a percentage of the administrative costs of the district and assign it to water assignment because, you know, Shari says in the unemployment, you know, that's not something that's assigned to us. But why do we have the actual cost of employee benefits, dental health and life for active employees and dental health and life for retired employees? Why would we add another 19%? I'm not sure.
You're on page four?
No, three.
Page four. Oh, no, page three. I'm
go into the, you're in item five, right, the employee benefits?
Yes.
So water department employee benefit, dental health, life, those are actual benefits for water department personnel.
Yeah.
The next item is just the finance department personnel. So we had to split those because they're providing, they're working for fire department, they're working for the water department. It's a district cost, but part of it should be covered by the water rates because they're helping the water department, and part of it's to be covered through taxes through the district. Because the finance department provides assistance to both, it's essentially an administration cost, provides assistance to both the water department and fire department.
Okay.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they're not, those are not big costs anyway, but that's how we came up with a split based on salaries and wages for water department compared to overall district salaries and wages of all personnel.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So the bottom dollar part of this, where there's a balance of between 617 to 704 over the next 5 years, that we're going to fall short based on what we our rates are right now.
Yeah, so this page one, that's yeah. This last thing that I gave you, is using your current rates.
Did we get an answer to your FY18?
I mean, the FY18 is just a little bit, it would be a little bit less than that 617. I didn't
this is the money.
Have it here.
But we have an income, and that's what the balance is doing.
Okay, so put back here the FY18, that was... So the total bill from FY18 is probably close to that 455.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So if we take our water rates now, and we would have to more than double them,
correct,
to get up to what our goal is.
So this is, if I can just walk you quickly through this first one, this projected revenue and current rates. So we show FY19 through FY24, which is the study period. Mm-hmm. That top line item balance of revenue needed comes directly from the bottom line on that expense sheet that we already went through for FY19 through FY24. And then your current rates are listed next in the tiers. And then we have a couple things here. We have some things highlighted in blue, which total together, and the items highlighted in orange total together. So existing services excess use revenue. So you have so many customers now that have a projected water usage moving forward for FY19 through FY24. So using the existing rates, that's what your excess use revenue will be in that year. And then your existing base use revenue is right below that in orange for the same year. And then we're assuming 5 new customers per year, which is... And then we have a new services. So for those 5 new customers, what's the excess usage revenue from them? And what's the basic use revenue from them? So we add the two blues together to get a total excess revenue in FY19 of $373,000. And then for the basic use, we add the two basic use items together, and we get a total of $81,612. And then you sum those two together, and you get your total billed revenue, which is the $455,010. And if you take that $455,010 and you subtract it from the top number, which is the balance of revenue needed, that gives you your deficit in this case of $617,531. So that's using your current rates. Like I said, we wrapped up the expenses a week and a half ago, so we're working through these new rates, but we did come up with a couple scenarios, but I think you have a question.
Is $180 an annual average for a small user?
Yeah, so what we did for the annual new services is in your annual statistical report each year, you have to determine your residential volume, and we know your number of residential customers, so you can get an average residential use. It's not perfect, but it's a good way to come up with your average customer, average residential customer volume use. So that's what that's taken, is that usage for 5 new customers. And that's what the dollar amount is. So essentially you can take those numbers and divide by 5, and that's your annual cost for a new user.
So, you know, a house with a couple of empty nests or something, they're using less than 20,000 gallons unless they're...
Yeah.
Unless they're watering their lawn every day.
Right. I mean, it's, like I said, it's not perfect because you're going to have some users that are higher and some that are lower, but it gets you pretty close to, for projection purposes, it gets us to where we need. And it's not a big chunk anyway. We're only projecting 5 new users per year. For the purposes of the projecting revenue for water rates, I mean, you obviously want to be conservative. We don't want to assume you're going to bring in all this revenue when it's not truthful or not realistic. So that's current rates. If you go to page 2, same setup, same type of table, all the same type of numbers, but what we've done with the rates is we've increased the rates. Each tier we increased by the same percentage in order to determine what's needed to balance the FY19 deficit. So at the bottom we have a couple notes. So it's 136% rate increase to cover that cost.
I just did that math.
Of service.
Yeah. Cool. Should have just put the page.
So my question is, if we're looking at a 5-year projection, I know this is a huge chunk no matter what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of coming up with a deficit before those 5 years, it looks to me like if we're looking at trying to make up close to $700,000 a year on average over that period, then if we went for that recovery from the get-go, we're not going to be showing a deficit over the next 4 years after this initial year. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so all we've done in that first case is just satisfy the deficit for FY19.
Yeah.
FY20 through FY24, you still have a deficit. So you need a bigger jump right at the start if you want to satisfy
that. That's what I was trying to get to, because I don't want to be changing the rates every year.
Sure.
So if we do a 5-year rate increase, I'd like it to be enough so it's going to cover everything for 5 years, knowing that in 5 years our costs will be more than they are right now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to do this. I mean, you can have a rate increase, which maybe isn't ideal if you increase the rates 1 year, and then the next year you're increasing rates again, or you increase the rates enough all at once to cover your evaluation period.
Or maybe you could have a jump in the first year and the third year.
All the options should be on the table. I mean,
so we ran some quick numbers, and just it was about each percent increase that you go up is about $4,500. So if you're 76,000, so 76 divided by 40, 76,000 divided by 4,500, whatever that percent. I'm looking at FY20, 76,000 deficit. So if you 4,500 is say a percent increase, so you'd have to take the 76,000 divided by 4,500 to get what the additional percentage increase is needed to cover
17.
That.
So who are the biggest users in the district? The schools. The school would have been in the old days, but not anymore.
No, not anymore. The golf course, it's quite large. A lot of private homes down on the water. Be surprised at how much water they can use.
Even though nobody's there most of the time.
Correct. Correct.
I get the farm down the end.
The larger the lawn, the more the money, and they don't care usually.
Mm-hmm. So this is a straight percentage increase in the excess use rates. I would rather see it more progressive in the sense of steeper increases as you get up to 100,000.
Right, right. This is pretty basic. I hear what you're saying, and that's certainly something we can look at as different alternatives. We're not there Yeah, I mean, we have the expenses all done, so now it's just a matter of coming up with different alternatives, and we can pull some different alternatives together. But we wanted to give you a couple just to kind of see what we're talking, if we're talking across the board rate increase, at least for this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about what you pay for all your other utilities, electricity, phone, and everything else.
I mean, just for...
Less than $200 a month for empty nest families. $200 a year is
just for a quick comparison. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
And not to get off or anything like that, but some of this debt service is going to stop. That mean all of a sudden we're going to be into a profit, and are we allowed to be in any kind of a profit? I don't know.
Well, I mean, your tank debts for several years.
It goes on for like 20 years. Yeah. The newest one, the USDA one we did, but I don't know about Santuit, how long that debt service, I'd have to ask Ray. I don't know how long they go on, but some of these here, it says this water security upgrade system, that's the one we're just getting now.
Yep.
That's going to be at least for the 5 years. I don't know how much longer.
I think it might have been
that.
8 years or so.
Okay.
I forget exactly what the treasurer had.
All right, yeah.
Given us the carry. Same with the chemical upgrades. I mean, that one will eventually,
I know you can
go
only
away.
Go 5 years anyways. I'm just thinking, you know, if a couple of these bigger ones are gone all of a sudden in 10 years, are we going to be sitting here going... reinvesting again.
The nice commissioners of the time reduce the rates, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the unpopular ones here, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Fran Parks, Prudential. I think you're going to find that part of that's going to be offset by the OPEB costs, which are the requirements are now to fund retirement are going to be increasing every year, the amount of money that we have to give. And I have a question for you. Did you look at the rates that the other water districts in the town have for comparison purposes?
Well, I mean, we do have some good data for other rate evaluations and things that we've done in sort of the area, I would say down Cape Cod area. Just to give you some comparison, we just pulled out a couple today. So based on comparing to your current rates, we looked at Mashpee, Harwich, and Easton. So Mashpee is about 44% higher than what you guys are at now. The Harwich is about two times, so 100% higher than your rates now. And if you look at Eastham, they're 200% higher than your current rates. So what we were saying, 136%, that would put you between Harwich and Eastham in terms of the cost per typical.
Eastham just has a whole new system they're paying.
The cost per typical residential user.
I kind of think Eastham, I think they're putting in a sewer system too?
No.
They're not?
No, but they just
got a whole new system.
They're brand new.
So their debt service is.
And we do have, and we'll look at some more to get some more comparison.
I just think that our residents are more likely to look at what they're paying in CO, you know, compared to COMM, Barnstable, Hyannis, than Easton, or Truro, or Mashpee.
Truro is zero.
Is it? No. We don't want to compare to West Barnstable.
We do have access to. The data like that, so we can certainly look more closely at some of those. So we'll take note of that, and we can get that information.
I think that's part of the sales job is to show that we've been way low for too long.
Yeah. And now, the other thing, part of the sales part, I think, Fran, that's where it would work with the Prudential Committee. If as our rates increase, the tax is going to go down. Is that correct?
Yeah.
They better. Because this is one of the reasons for doing this is to try to balance out how the money, where the money's coming from, and
that's a great
if point. If we keep on, if we're going to increase by over 100%, this right here, it means that's all that money, $600,000 is not being coming out of tax income mm-hmm. every year. So that has to be part of the thing that is explained to the public, so they understand. On one hand, they're getting a higher bill. The other hand, you should be getting a lower bill. Then the other thing, I didn't know if there was different ways to. I know you can always, instead of one-time billing, there could be two or quarterly billing, and different things that. So if someone's not writing a big check once a year, they can do a smaller check. Mm-hmm. It's not impactful.
So if you look at the last page of that, the rate sheet in it that we handed out, we just look quickly if we did two bills annually. This doesn't really answer your question as far as how the two bills would look, but just to split the two bills, to have two separate bills, and to capture actual readings twice a year instead of one time per year, and to bill customers, you could actually, I know it's not a big drop, but instead of 136, it's 131% just by splitting from one bill annually to go to two bills. And if you billed for 6 months, including like April through September or April through October, and then the other 6 months between, and you have two separate bills, you would just capture more revenue, because if you use the same tiers and you use your summer usage, you would get people who are using excessive water in the summer for irrigation purposes and things like that would be in this upper tier, and you'd actually be gaining a little bit more revenue that way, just by having two bills split that way. I know doesn't seem like a big difference, but it is a difference. It's 136 to 131%. That's just splitting bills. That's not even changing tiers or
rates or anything.
Or rates, yeah. I mean, it's the same rates used in option number one, which is, I mean, it's just a 131% increase instead of 136%. So the rates don't have to increase as much just by splitting out into two bills. I mean, most locations at this point in time aren't doing just a single annual bill. It's at least semi-annual billing for that purpose of customers not getting hit with one large bill, and it's a revenue stream into the district. Into the.
Where is this? It's 20, isn't it? Twice, okay.
You wouldn't. The way you put this in is keeping the existing under 20,000 bill at the same that it's at right now, existing.
Where are you looking?
I'm kind of looking at both of these, and well, except that you changed the 10,000 on option number two, but on scenario number one.
Yes.
You keep the existing. I know it's $36 for 20,000 gallons. Up to 20,000 gallons, you would keep that at $36.
So for option number two, we essentially would do a minimum usage charge of $18 twice a year,
and knock it down to 10.
And knock it down to 10. Correct. But just by dividing into two bills, you capture some of those higher users in that last tier, which gains a little more revenue. So there's other things that can be done. I mean, looking at the tiers in terms of your 10, if you go back to option number one, which has your current tiers, the 20,000 to 40 and 40 to 80, 80 to 120, 120 and greater. Looking at your overall users in the system and seeing sort of what percentage of your users are typically falling into those tiers. We did look at that, and it's actually a pretty reasonable split. I mean, about 20% of your users are falling into that top tier. And each tier is, I don't want to say it's a 20-20-20 split, but it's one's a little 25%, maybe one's 15%, but you've got a reasonable split of users falling into each tier at this point in time. So nothing really stood out there as those tiers being out of whack is what I'm getting at. I mean, you have 20% falling into the top highest tier, which seems like a reasonable number.
So they're all about 20%, 25%.
Yeah, they're all 15 to 25% each tier. So there's that option of trying to change some of the splits in the tiers, or you could even not increase the rates the same across the board for the tiers, but increase the rates in the upper tiers more than in the lower tiers. If you're looking to put more of the rate increase on...
For instance, if you had somebody with 120,000 extra gallons, maybe that should be $10, and then the 20,000 should be $3.22 or something. I mean, in other words, it doesn't have to be all proportionate.
Correct.
What are we trying to accomplish as a policy? Do we want people to conserve, and if so, then they should pay more for using too much?
Not all those high users, though, are people that don't conserve. They might be people that provide service for the community, like the golf course.
Right. So there's a lot more, to me, that needs to be studied. You know, you don't want to put a golf course out of business, but it's a community asset. But this is like the first step, it seems to me, in a sales job. And I don't know if your contract cover helping to develop some of the strategies to implement this.
Yeah, I mean, we fully intend. I mean, we intended to come here tonight, show you what we've done. We've kind of got some preliminary, just blanket across the board rate increases, but wanted to get some thoughts on some different alternatives that, and you've already given that to me at this point, we can come up with some different alternatives and present those and give you some more ideas based on what's been done elsewhere and what's currently done.
I think we certainly want to know what the rates were in the other districts in the town of Barnesville.
Yep.
Several districts in the town, Magnus Department.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, we haven't even talked about whether or not we agree that water rates should pay the water department's expenses, right?
That was the operating assumption for doing the study, or not?
I don't know that it was. I think we wanted to see where we were
and
see if that was something that we could get to. Not many water departments on the Cape and Islands have their water rates cover all of the water department's expenses. I think COMM is the only one that does.
Okay, so it was my assumption that we wanted to become as close to fully self-sufficient as possible. In that, I do know from talking to you in the initial meeting that it is not uncommon for water departments to get 100% of their money from water rates, which surprised me. I thought it was more of like a percentage split of like a 60-40, 60% rates and 40% taxes. And that was my assumption. That was not based on any fact. It was just what I heard someone say once, and I assumed it to be the way it was all everywhere else. Mike, the only thing is, I'm an impatient person. If you don't know that, I'm letting you know right now. And this is something I've wanted to have done a year and a half ago. And the more we keep on putting it off, we're going to go with a whole nother year where the tax rates are going to be higher. They're going to be paying more for our services through taxes instead of water rates. And it keeps on going down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. So I don't know, as a board or as a combination with the financial committee, there is a lot to be said about selling this to the public. I mean, everything we have to. But at the end of the day, if we make it, if we're going to raise these rates to cover our water department expenses, then we need to do it. But we still need to be informing everyone. So now the time thing is getting, we can't do that in a timely way. I don't see how we can.
Who has the authority to raise the rates, the commissioners or the voters? The voters set the tax. The commissioners set the rates.
Yeah.
Yes.
The elected commissioners.
Well, I can tell you that there's been something that's been mentioned in every, I say that a lot at the district meeting. I've said that. I've said it at Candace Knight. I said it at Civics. whether or not everyone's heard it, it has been said. We're looking at trying to raise our rates, and it was brought to us a couple years ago that in conjunction with something totally different, that we, if we need more money, we could raise our water rates, and that came from the public.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So all of that together got us here. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hold that second part there, keep the feet to the fire, and to raise the rates, because it has been artificially low for a long time.
And I don't mean to insinuate that we shouldn't pay for the water department with our rates. I think we should, but I don't know that the commission has said we want to do that, that the Board of Water Commissioners. I think that might be one of the first steps that we want to do, is to make that call, whether it's a percentage or whether it's 100% coverage, and perhaps we need to hear from the Prudential Committee on their thoughts before we vote on that, but I don't know that that's necessary either.
Well, we need more information. I certainly would like to do a little more comparative analysis with other places. I've had some interesting statistics I wrote down here that some pay all, some pay, you know, 60, 40, whatever it is, but we don't want to be an outlier one way or the other, seems to me.
Well, right now we're the low guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as far as being
an outlier. But if you put the taxes and the water rates together, you know, what's the average annual bill to a family of three between taxes and rates for all district operations?
Amy?
When you said that car was 100% higher, so that would be one car, the bus.
Sorry.
In Harwich.
That Harwich was 100% higher. So if we raised our rates 100%, which would be page 2, then they would be...
Right. It would be the average customer in the two of district would be a little bit higher. Okay,
higher than Harwich. And East Ham would be higher than that.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to say that as the tax rates stand now, it's unfair to the people that have wells and don't use district water. I mean, they should pay part of the fire protection, but you know, the way the rates are now, dependent more on the taxation than on the rates, then those people are paying more in taxes than they should for water.
That is what by breaking it down by percentage of. What, I think you did that by whether the percentage of certain things for fire protection is being subtracted from the cost, which that would be covered by taxes, and it's leaving the balance towards water rates. Yeah.
But everybody's taxes will go down if we raise the water rates, and those people that then don't pay for their water have a little more cash.
Which is a very low number.
It's a very low
number.
Much.
It's under 100 people in Detroit.
Yeah, and it's probably going to get
the
less.
The last time I checked, it was around, not including places where we couldn't get water mains to, probably like 70 people at the most. And I'm talking where the overlaying, where we go out, where it touches into Marston's Mills, like where Jen lives.
Yeah.
There's no way to get, she pays taxes. In Kachua,
I'm not quite sure.
There's no way we could ever get any water to it unless we ran through a cranberry bog and everything else down through the end down there.
All right. Anything else? Right.
My only thought, like I was saying before when I asked, is that if we were going to do raise rates, I think it should have been across the board, even with the minimum charge. That's the only thing I was thinking. That would. You could keep it like this, but I thought maybe in the beginning it might be able to break up a little of that. I know with $36, you know, bringing the $36 minimum fee that we do, we only did it that way. We knocked it down. It used to be $72 for 40,000 gallons. When we knocked it in half, we do 36 for 20 now to try to help out for people. So if we're going to $85 for 40,000 gallons, we should try to knock that in half. I was thinking to the 40, 250 for a minimum charge or something like that. Just to keep things even if we're going to do it something like that.
I don't think there's any perfect formula. I mean, it's always going to be a balance between the two. And you know, you said people with irrigation, I mean, with wells and not even a public service, public water service. Fire department's still going to show up with a tank of water from somewhere.
Well, there's a difference between tank of water and flowing 3,000 gallons a minute for 3 hours. That's kind of a different thing.
So in terms of our schedule,
yes.
Like I said, the expenses are ironed out at this point, so now it's just a matter of coming up with different alternatives, which I don't want to say is easy, but we have the numbers solid, just coming up with different tables for different alternatives at this point. So, I mean, what would you like to see? Would you like to see these at another next commissioner's meeting or before that?
All right, let me ask you, is there such a thing as quarterly billing?
Yeah. I think just as easy.
Tom does that, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Harwich is we have some communities that we've done similar evaluations for and stuff that do monthly billing.
Yeah.
It all depends on, I mean, it looks better in terms of a monthly bill sometimes than a biannual or annual bill in terms of the cost, even though it ends up being close to the same. Mm-hmm. But part of that's revenue, too. Communities want revenue to come in a steady stream versus every 6 months.
Yeah, you could also think it's just there's not much for mailing costs, but there are mailing costs involved with each time we bill, too. So that's the only other thing.
Well, I mean, the difference between, you know, going to the twice... from the single to the twice a year, the total cost went down. So I don't know if that could, it would even be down more if it was a quarterly bill.
Quarterly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it might small initial additional cost, but still be less overall.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think
what you're saying, yeah. You only get a bill if you use it, basically, yeah.
I'd like to see COMM's rates.
That's easy.
I think that should be easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to know if indeed they are covering 100% of their water department's expenses, which I believe they are, having talked to commissioners over there. And I think... you know, Fran made a good point that residents in Catoa are very familiar with COMM, more so than some of the other towns around here. Barnstable is very similar to us as well.
I was thinking Barnstable might be closer to size and everything.
Yeah, and they raised their rates 2 years ago, I believe.
Yeah. Barnstable did?
Yes.
I know Hyannis is a little different because they do, they have waste, they do what sprinkler lines and you know, houses coming in, so they pay for some for more for some and less for others and everything else. They have 2 meters per house over there, as
I know. In Hyannis?
Yeah.
And just
yes. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. And they pay for one meter that does it for the ground does this the wastewater bill. One's a wastewater bill, one's a...
So that's apples and oranges, so we don't need to...
I think Barnstable and Centerville would be the two.
Yeah.
Centerville because it's our neighbor and people are... Mm-hmm. I think Barnstable more of a closely size-wise comparable to us.
Okay.
And I think you've done a great job.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to, you mentioned 100% of the water department's expenses being covered. Right now, in this, we're showing 90%.
Yeah. I guess, speaking for myself as a commissioner, I'm in favor of that. But I think we need to make sure that we're all on the same table with respect to that.
There's a rationale behind his numbers.
Yes.
When was the last time the rates were increased?
Over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that was back quite a while ago. They revisited them over 12 years ago, yeah. It hasn't been since I've been where I am now. That's 12 years now, so it was shortly before that. I'd say close to 15 years ago.
Yeah, and since then we've built two new tanks.
Yeah.
Right.
And the cost of operations have gone up, and the payrolls have gone up, and all of our expenses have gone up.
Every other bill we get has gone up
in
the last 12 years.
Now we're adding more chemicals to the water that's costing more money. We've had to go through the chemical feed system and, you know, all this different stuff, yeah, which is an ongoing cost also.
Increased regulation costs. Yeah. And,
okay.
Safety, right? Security.
So right now, Chris, our new first billing's going out in October, right?
Yes.
So it's unrealistic to think we're going to have anything done for October. I think that's a yes.
Yes. It's unrealistic to think that we will have our reading will go up. It'll be our last bill of the year. Our next bill will not go out till March. So it's not unrealistic if we have a meeting between October and March. It would end this cycle and start a new cycle.
Yeah. So if I'm correct from talking to the treasurer, that any relief in the taxes from a raise in the water rates won't really be reflected until the year after it happens. So any action we take even in March is not really going to have an opposite reaction.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right.
So what do you think?
Well, I'm just so we can plan to give you some more alternatives and some more options
and
in the immediate future.
Our next meeting in October is in early October. It's not
late.
Late. This is the early
week. Okay. It's like the fourth week, third or fourth.
The 25th, I think.
25th.
So is it possible that like Barstable and Centerville information we're looking for can be sent to us so we can get look at it before the meeting and Frank can have a copy and all that stuff. So we have something we can work on.
Yeah, I mean we can even have these different alternatives and different alternatives done before then as well.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you're interested in seeing before we meet again.
Yes. I think we are.
Is it worthwhile to see a quarterly billing as an alternative?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure comms quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's three or four times a year that I get a bill from them.
You don't live in Cotulla?
Can't afford to live in Cotulla. The water rates are too high.
It's not the water rates that are keeping you out of here, bro. It's the taxes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Before you head out, I just the next item on our agenda will be chemical feed.
An upgrade project?
Project.
Yep.
Thanks, Ray.
Basically, just an update on it. You can hit anything. As far as I know, we're at almost the end of the project. We're holding very little money. They were there today doing electrical part, yesterday doing some painting parts. They'll be here tomorrow to do the plumbing and the rest of the tagging.
Yep.
So after that, I don't know if there's anything you want to go.
We acknowledge substantial completion on the project, which allowed them to reduce their retainage. They hold 5% retainage throughout construction. They dropped it to 1% retainage, and we're holding some money on a few line items in their pay apps just to hold enough money for what we created a punch list, essentially. We came out, we did a review of everything they've done, We walked through all the testing. We made sure everything was working properly. There were a couple things that were incomplete, so we added those to the punch list. There was some tagging that was incomplete, the paint that you touched on. So it sounds like they were coming today. So they'll be back tomorrow to finish up some plumbing. And we will regroup following that to see which items remain on the punch list and to make sure that all of them are complete. And then following that, if everything's complete, we can award them final completion and pay them in full. But until the punch list is complete,
correct.
Hold that. I believe the final completion date is not next week, but the following week. So they have pretty much next week to meet completion within the contract.
Correct. Yeah, and there's been a couple things that come up since then, and I talked to Eric about them, and he's coming down to address them with his plumber tomorrow and everything.
Okay.
So we can talk about those another time. It was a pump issue, and the guys had some questions they wanted to ask. Like when replacing one, all the stuff that was plugged in, all the different stuff, is that going to have to be redone if we change over? Does that mean we should have to get somebody else down there to put in, or do we have something that has all the set points?
Good question. For the pumps?
Yeah.
So we have required that the vendor who supplied the chemical feed pumps provide a sheet in their operations and maintenance manual which identifies all the input and output contacts for those pumps and the proper settings that they've changed from factory settings. So you'll have a sheet. You don't have it yet, but McLuhan can help you for now, or we can help you. But that's on the punch list, assuming that final O&M. You'll have a sheet that you can refer to when you get a new pump that says set this to this and this
I'll
to this.
Turn that
sounds good. Yeah, exactly. Well, there's no screws anymore. It's up, down, up. It's push button. Everything's got a button and it's digital. So
and you need
it's
a,
all
you need
up
the
brain.
You
need a sheet.
Yeah, if they get any questions, they can contact us. We can probably help most of the time in terms of answering some of the questions.
There's been a couple of things with a couple of the analyzers they want to talk to Pete, about.
Yeah, furnish the analyzer.
So, yeah, they're going right through and they're talking to him.
Okay. Great.
All right, is there anything else? We're cost of services study update. Would you like
to? I'd just like you to give to some consideration. I know that any raise in the rates, there are true hardship cases in Cotuit.
Exactly.
And, I would like to see a policy also initiated to deal with the true hardship cases, not just the people who don't pay their bills, which is a whole other topic.
That actually is something I was thinking of. I was going to bring it up just to see if other people, other places have a policy like that.
Okay.
You know.
Yep.
It requires documentation, but
of
income and stuff like that. But I'd like to be sure that something.
We should
like that
do something.
That wouldn't have a huge effect on the whole big picture.
Right.
So.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They're not going to be using a lot of water anyways.
No, and we usually get anything that does get paid through taxes sent back to us.
Okay. Is there anything else on the chemical safety upgrade that we need?
No, I'm fine with that. I mean, just kind of updating while he was here. If he
right.
Had anything
to
add,
I think that's great.
I figured it'd be best.
That's a good catch. I just wanted to wrap up those two items and
thank you,
let
sir.
Him.
Thank you. Drive careful out there.
Way out of town.
You
thank
anything,
you very much.
You
it was excellent.
Call if you're bored tomorrow. Swing on in. Take an hour drive down or whatever.
You didn't get lost coming over the bridge, did you?
All right, that was
sounds good.
Interesting.
So
now we've got some work to do.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Now you got some more reviewing to do.
Right?
Yeah, man.
And I think it's going to be the sale. That's going to be the
nice
important.
Job.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ryan. Let's go.
All right, man.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Remind me to replace it for
yes, yes. All right, so done with the old business then.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll move on to water quality.
All right, we had no total call form violations at all.
Awesome.
We did our byproduct testing that's required every August. All came in well below all MCLs. I believe I brought them with me just in case, but... The halocetic acids and the
trihalomethanes. The halocetic acids MCL is 60. We had a 1.2 and a 1.5. So we have really no byproducts out there. And the trihalomethanes is 80. And we had a 4.0 and a 3.5. So we put such a little amount in that we don't have much for byproducts at all. But the state still makes you do it.
Good.
Just in case something gets stuck on or you start finding problems here and there. But they have to check a couple houses around the town for their set locations. We also did the SOCs, and there was non-detect on everything in there. The right one, the right station.
Good.
Yeah. So, other than that, I have not tested for MTBE. I will. That's overdue. So I'll have that done. And Station 5's BTEC also. Well, I'm kind of on the testing. They did go around and test those test wells. I just haven't got the results on them yet. At Station 5, they do one over at 671 Main.
Yep. For nitrates?
Yep. For a whole bunch of different things. They put in some other stuff, detergents that are in detergents and stuff like that, just
sure.
To check, yeah.
Anything else on water quality?
Nope, all set with that.
Is that a good place to talk about the woman out in on Roosevelt?
I was going to talk about that in my
superintendent's report.
Sure. Okay. Sorry about that. I never put this on.
Should we bring him back in so we go over the whole report?
Everything's just full. So I can't use that. Okay. I'll have to delete some stuff later, so let's hope everything works fine. Superintendent's report. Superintendent's report for the month of August, read on September 12th. In August of 2017, we pumped $33,983,000. In August of 2018, we pumped $37,541,000 for an increase of $3,658,000, which is good. It's more of the norm. Last year was quite low, and that makes us feel a little better like things are back.
Okay.
We had two new services put in. One was a garage, and another was an existing house that didn't have water, but didn't have a well either. It came off. It was two houses on one place where they fed between two houses, and they put a dedicated service in. We had two replacement services also. We have the handbook to talk about a little bit here, also underneath my report. I gave you guys some stuff to peek at. Tom did send an email out with some, let's say, ways to make it read a little easier.
Just minor stuff.
Yeah, just have to clear up, verify a couple things on there, and we can pretty much do that, no problem. One of them, I agree 100% with. On you had said the grievance, it didn't really read correct, and I like the way you put it. Now it's a Word document that we can
actually change ourselves, I believe.
Good.
So we can actually delete a couple little bit of the reading and put it in, and I'll just run it and tell Warren that we did it and tell him where we did it. So
are we going to go over this, or are you just going to go over what?
Yeah, do you have some other issues you're saying there?
Well, I read it, so.
Okay.
I don't need to read for nothing.
Okay.
If you look on page 14, this is a real minor.
Yep.
When I was reading this, it said the department has recognized that one component of accomplishing its mission is to be consistent and fair treatment of the employees. I just thought it made sense that accomplishing its mission is the consistent and fair treatment of the employees. Just change the to be to the. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which one was it on there?
Oh. Right there, personnel.
Section 3.
Yeah.
Is this on the
page 14?
Yeah, I might have the old one with me. I didn't bring the old one.
Why don't you just, if you would go through your questions and changes, and then you could make that copy available to Chris.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I have a question here on page 16 under the pregnant workers' fairness thing right here. Under 1 section B, subsection 6, light duty. Do we have anything called light duty?
Not really, but I'm guessing it's.
Is this something that's required as a generic thing? But
light duty, I would imagine, would be lifting nothing over 5 pounds. You know, if there's a doctor's order of what can and can't be done, considered light duty. Okay.
It just
doesn't provide a definition.
No, it doesn't. So on page 27, under grievances, is maybe what you were looking at.
That's the thing.
It was always my understanding that when you got to a level 3 or stage 3 of a grievance, that it went immediately to the administrative board.
Yep. It's up to it goes to you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I just didn't read that all the way through. Now, there's a section here under page 33, ethics and then outside employment. And I just didn't, when I read this, it made me question about what rights. Obviously, we hire someone, we expect that to be their primary job. But they also may have an outside job to help make the ends meet. And when you have an outside job and you're scheduled, say, every second Sunday of the month to work there, and can we force someone to come back?
Yes. If they have the job part of the taking the weekend duty, they can.
If they follow the normal, there's all the scheduled stuff to do, weekends. All the stuff that they're scheduled to do as part of their job.
Right. Well, no, I can't force them to come here if they're not
outside
on duty.
That. Yeah.
Outside of that, I cannot force them to come here. If I call them and say, "Hey, I need you to come in and help out," I can't force them to come.
Okay. All right. Good. Let me make sure that was clear. And we have under page 39 schedule hours. We don't really have an assistant superintendent yet. Do we want to include that in our terminology or just?
Yeah, we'll keep it in there. There's a strong, it's the intention of the department to have one and eliminate the senior operator position eventually.
But in that same line, I sent in my email to Chris that you should insert senior operator.
Okay. So then the last thing that raised a question with me had to do on page 52. It's got to do with sick time and the accruing of hours. Each employee gets a day and a quarter a month for each full month up to a total of 120 hours earned sick time each year. Mm-hmm.
employees accrue earned sick time only on hours worked, not on hours paid when not working. So if I take 2 weeks vacation in a month, I don't accrue 1.5 sick days that month.
It is my understanding that if you are out on sick leave, you do not accrue sick time. But if you are on vacation, you do accrue sick time.
Well, what that says, employees accrue earned sick time only on hours worked.
Your paid vacation is considered part of your regular hours over the course of a year, isn't it?
I don't know. That's the question.
So it needs to be made clear.
Which number is that?
We're under, it's 1A.
1A, employees.
On page 52.
Hours worked, not hours paid when not working.
Because that, to me, tells me that's vacation time.
Because it's hours paid when not working.
I could have them add in some way.
Hours worked, including paid vacation hours or something.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's... If you look at this, if somebody goes on sick leave, they don't get to accrue sick time if you're not there. If you're away on...
If you're injured, you do, though.
What's that?
If you're injured,
yep.
Everything accrues. You don't get penalized for being injured, do you?
According to what I read in the law, it said that underneath... I'll have to look at it again, but it was this came right off of the state law. I'd have to look at the state one that, what do you call it, gave me again, earned sick time from the one that the district has adopted, which is just we never even had to follow this. Because we're under so many employees, you have to have some over so many employees to do it, or something to that effect. Because the district adopted it at that last meeting, that's why we're even into it. It's also fair and everything. So I'll look at the one that I have for them and find that out for sure. Exactly what can and what can't. Maybe I'll give you a call and sit down and talk to you a little bit more on it. Something just to find out.
Okay.
As far as I understood it was as long as you're working and not out on leave for medical, military, different, how it is, you don't earn. You only get it for hours that you're actually on the books working, which you're on the books when you're on vacation still.
But that's not what it says in the line, though.
Okay. I'll see if we can make it more specific. There's a way... if it's, as far as I know, this came right off with mass law. So if it's different from there, I think, like I said, we can make it better, but we can't make it worse. So it's,
well, I think this is just a clarification.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
all.
Making it better or worse.
Yeah.
Defining what our.
I just want to understand what the intention is in reality, how it works, and how it affects the employee, and that kind of leaves a question mark with me. That's all.
Okay.
Plus, I had to prove I actually read it.
Hmm. Is that it?
Yeah, that's enough, isn't it?
Yep. That's about what I came up with. So, and with respect to the sick time provisions in there, you were going with the second set of...
Correct. Not what he had put in, which is state law.
Right.
I was going... It limited everybody to 90 days. I think it was 90 days only.
120.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
It says 90, yeah, after 90 days accrued sick time, maybe, nope, that's a different one, sorry. Well, this is what I put in.
Okay.
And I can swing by and show Jen the changes, things like, so she can make a note. And also, I note the HR person sandwich. I can run by that.
Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
She'll be able to tell me exactly what, if that is acceptable or not.
Okay.
And then I'll let you have that.
Sounds good. Well, we're not going to make a vote on it then if we do that.
So
we got some verification, some clarification to do. We're pushing it a little further out. That's all. Okay. I'll just have them put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
Well, I was contacted by Prudential for his first policy advisory meeting. It's going to be October 10th. So I'll be attending that.
I'll be attending the bylaw committee on September
26th. Oh, is that right?
Oh.
I suppose I should get a copy of the bylaw.
You can get it right online.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right on the website. Katuify.org, yeah. All right. Next on my discussion here was Tower North, just an update on them. I saw them hooking the electric up finally yesterday. Well, we're going across the road and onto the pole and everything. When I talked to him a couple days ago, he had told me that they were still waiting on the electric company to do everything. The lady just basically told him it takes time, that's all.
Yep.
So they're trying to get people signed, and they might by the beginning of October now. So we're still collecting till then, though.
Mm-hmm.
Last is Mrs. Tromba over on Roosevelt. As I told you, our plan last month, I told you about the letter we had gotten from Attorney Savitz. After a little bit of discussion with him and our attorney, Mark Woodrow, Attorney Savitz would like to meet, kind of like just the three of us, and discuss the situation a little bit before anything happens. Since then, I got a complaint from DEP on discolored water on Roosevelt Road, from the 54 Roosevelt Road. So I was like, geez, that's kind of weird that, you know, he gave so far. We set up a schedule to have an electrician go over there, have myself go over there to do some testing, and she called up and canceled everything. She's ill, bedbound right now, and doesn't want to let anybody in. So she told me she'd call me when she felt better. I drove over there one day. Somebody came out and said, hey, I'm just here to watch her. I can't let anybody in. She's still in bed. She's not doing well. I talked to the woman at DEP, and I said to her, I'm kind of surprised that Attorney Savitz called you. And she said, who's Attorney Savitz? She says, I was contacted by Attorney Elizabeth Lynch, who is her elder law lawyer, who I've known. I talked to her about a year ago about this problem and told her, you know, what we were trying to do. And she said, I gave him some results from tests that were taken out from her hot water or that she had, and we had the water tested, and it's just bad. And I said, I don't know what you were testing, the hot water, the cold water, where she took it from, if it was, you know, the stuff you see in the tub that's brown, I don't know. So I said, I'll just, you know, it would have to be retested and everything else. She said, I just got off the, she called me afterwards, that not an hour later,
after I talked to the woman at the DEP and said that she had called and was trying to get things going so that we wouldn't have to go to court. She feels as though Attorney Sabbath wants to go to court with us. And she was trying to, she said, I don't mean to step on anybody's feet, but I'm just trying to help her out. And I've advised her to have you let the electrician in to do the tests and everything else. I said, that's great. She says, so if you call and make an appointment with her, fine. She hasn't answered the call, the phone since then. So I don't know if she's there or not. I haven't gone over and knocked on the door. With her illness, they gave her 3 months. It's been 4 or 5 now. She succeeded what they said. And I'm hoping that she told me it was Lyme disease. She was having a Lyme disease attack, basically. She thought that's why she had to go and stay in the bed, and her blood pressure was low. She hasn't been up now, as far as I know, in a week and a half.
Is there a continuous log of every communication, every attempt to communicate her with a failure to answer, every communication with the two different lawyers now, with DEP? I mean, just have a written log so we have some backup on what our efforts have been.
I don't have exact times. Is that what you're saying? Like, you know, at this time?
I understand
what you're saying, yeah.
You know, what happened today? Well, I called DEP. What happened two days ago? Her aide came to the door. Not the time of day, but I think...
But just a record of
log.
All your attempts
yeah.
and the result of those attempts.
Because that's all evidence for trial.
Yeah. I believe we have worked in good faith try to solve this, but that doesn't mean anything if you can't back
right.
it up with, well, on the 23rd of this month, I made an effort to contact with an electrician as previously scheduled and was refused
yeah.
entrance. Okay? That's the kind of stuff.
You've got it all in your head, Chris, but it should be
yeah.
written
yeah.
down. Just notes. You know. Notes to file, something like that. It's, you might ask Mark Boudreau what kind of things he would want recorded like that.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm not casting aspersions at any particular attorneys, but some like to go to court because that's where the money starts.
Right. No, I understand that, yeah.
So without the access, we couldn't do the upstream, downstream sampling, couldn't do the house sampling because that all
couldn't
needs
check
to be
to see
done.
If it was grounded properly or anything.
That all needs to be
right,
done.
Right, and
time.
I talked to Billy again today and said, listen, can we at least go over there and check to make sure, you know, the box out front is hooked up correctly coming in or something if they won't let us in just to see. I don't want to do the testing because I want to make sure everything's tested on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, if I can't get in there and do it, it's not worth me testing before mm-hmm. and after and mm-hmm. the stations and everything else without testing her house, basically.
I mean, we might just write a 3-sentence letter, certified letter saying, you know, we're trying to address it. We need to get in the house. We understand you don't want us in the house at this time. Please let us know when it's convenient. Something that, you know, a little paper trail like that. I mean, you know, you say call, and that's great, but phone calls are hard to...
Right. All I got is my cell phone saying that I dialed her number.
Certainly to sue you, you have to send certified letters and get a you know, return receipt and all that stuff. Showing the good faith that, you know, if we were all just happy villagers, we wouldn't need certified letters.
Right. And I was talking to Pat, also O'Neill, again. He said, you know, if you want, he says, when you go in to do everything, he says, I'll go in there too and give you a report on everything afterwards just so you have it, give them a little more of a professional thing through the engineer.
He's the engineer.
The service that was here, he's a VP for them over there. He says, I'll go over and we can look at different things that are in there at the same time while everybody's there, so I can give you a report of our findings too or something. More information can't hurt.
Yeah. I would send a letter tomorrow, though, and say we're trying to get in the house. We understand you don't want us there.
Okay.
Let us know when it's okay.
Yeah.
Check with Woodrow. I mean, he's a is he taking an active role with you? And, I mean, you shouldn't be communicating with her lawyer. You should, you know, your lawyers should be talking to his lawyer.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, I assumed it was Chuck doing it, and he said he knew that she wasn't feeling well now. He wasn't doing anything for the time being. He was waiting to see how things were with her, and that maybe in the meantime the three of us could get together. And that was Friday.
But now there's a fourth lawyer, or a third lawyer.
Yeah, the third lawyer involved, who's kind of says she doesn't want to step on anybody's toes, but is right now.
Yes, yeah,
basically.
Well, make sure she's copied on the letter.
No, I don't blame her either.
But can't probably would like to have her. You can't say fix the water.
They don't come in.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have on the list.
Okay. I have a question then. So at the last meeting, there was a letter from Queen Anne Lane, and they were invited to come to this meeting if they had any questions about.
Yeah, I never heard back from him. I sent an email up to him stating the findings that you guys had declined on the assistance. And if they had a problem, come on here and let me know. They never responded back.
Okay. That was my only question.
Good. Okay. Done with Superintendent's report?
Yes, we are.
Move on to new business. Just the bylaw revision listed there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Section 5. I believe, of the water department's bylaws. That's something that if you're going to have a meeting with the bylaw subcommittee in the next couple of weeks, that was a bylaw that we were asked to look at by the Prudential Committee in order to kind of determine whether or not we've got this we should set up a sustainability account, because we were supposed to have one back in the 70s, and it was supposed to be funded through monies received by the department through hookups, and that's been just kind of funneled into the general fund and has gone to fund our operations as well as, you know, the district's operations. But now that we wanting to take more responsibility with land stewardship and management, we thought maybe we should revisit that bylaw.
And Vic might have some more input on that.
Yes. So that's kind of the only reason that was in there.
Yeah, I believe there was a question with Vic had asked if we ever decided to do anything from the forestry side of it. If we took the funds, could we put them into that to put it back in to the restoration, to the same exact, like, would we have to open a new fund or not?
So if any stuff was harvested out of there in a value, money could be held in account, dedicated for restoration work to be done.
Whatever.
Correct.
Because the way the bylaw is written, the only funds that go in there, or the only funds that come out of that account, are for capital improvements.
Correct.
Capital expenditures, not even capital improvements. Capital expenditures for the water department, which would be large ticket items like you need a new truck.
Correct.
And it was thought that that might not, that the wording was too constrictive for us to really utilize that in a meaningful way.
Correct.
Anything else on that right now? And Vic has been invited to our next meeting. He should be able to make it, that's my understanding, and maybe shed some light on where he was in his thought process and in kind of going through revising the wording on that bylaw. Anything else with that? Next meeting date?
Mr. Chairman, I have a new item.
Yes?
Should
should have asked if I could add it earlier, but matters not reasonably anticipated by the chair. Pass those. When I first came on, the clerk, Mr. Beeger, sent me an email, which I can't find now, but told me I had to do all these things.
Yeah.
So I started doing all these things. And that's the last four or five pages of this handout. The first page is apparently the alternative, which I didn't find until today because I didn't know. But so when you're forming a campaign committee, expending funds and collecting funds, you have to fill out all these forms. You have to establish a bank account. You have to have a treasurer. You have to make annual reports. And that's what all these extra pages are. And then the first page, the way I read it, is you're exempt because you're not spending any money and you're not taking in any money. Well, in my particular case, I didn't spend any money. I didn't take any money. But I was still told that I had to comply with all the political campaign finance stuff.
So the question is, do you need to have a bank account, a treasurer, and all that stuff for something you didn't do it as? I never spent a penny, never gained a penny, never did any campaigning. So I have never filled this out.
Yeah. Well,
this is all I've filled out, is this front form.
That's all you've done.
Yeah. And I gave it to the clerk.
Which is probably
and he
fine.
Said, okay, that's fine.
So why is he telling me to do all these other things? Maybe because he thought I was spending money. I don't know. The good news is I now have a Robinson for Kituit Water Commissioner political campaign committee with $25 in it.
That you had so to put in to open the account.
My point was going to be that we talked about a commissioner's handbook.
To have something like this in it?
Well, we got to tell them. It's either or. You do what Tom did or you do what I do. Or have done.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to drag my sister as a campaign chairman over to the bank, the thing, a bank card, and there's a lot of a hassle.
Well, there's other stuff that we got form from an attorney that we had to fill out recently, didn't we, Chris? Did you guys do the same thing? Some sort of
conflict,
yeah, conflict of interest forms, yeah. And everything.
That's,
yeah.
That's an annual thing.
It was annual the last 2 years now, but before that it wasn't annual. I never saw it before.
You had to do it last year. Even like you have to do a form that says, and I do whenever they do a audit, because you were the chairman. Tom will have to sign it this year because he's the chairman, saying you have no idea that anything happened, you know, in here. I'm surprised everybody doesn't have to do it, but I think it's just if you're seen you're the chairman, you'll have to sign it next year. It's just if you saw any bad doings.
But I guess that the question I had, which came to me when I was looking at this thing, since I am of very minimal legal expertise, was if a team of lawyers worked on this form right here and asked me all these questions, do I need a lawyer to go over it with me? I would hope not, too, but...
The conflict of interest policy statement that you said?
No, there was...
It was a one-page thing you said.
No, this was...
Saying I've read the ethics guide.
No. This is 5 pages of questions about stuff.
So you're talking about the audit one that came out, the last one, yes, no answers?
Yeah. But there was other answers that were not yes or no.
Right. There's something else, like, have you done this? Have you had any other dealings with this or anything? Anything? I can't remember. I had to put a couple things at the end, fill out a couple answers saying, well, yeah, but it's got nothing to do with this or something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you need a lawyer to interpret it with you.
Okay.
It's my... Yeah, but I haven't read it.
Have you had any violations with the Department of Environmental, you know, DEP? You know, we had an NON, we had this, that, we had that. That was all I put down. You know, yeah, we had some, but they weren't anything to do with finances or anything like because of financial stuff.
Can you ask the clerk, Mr. Eager?
Yep.
to give us a statement of the two paths, which apparently you can take here, so that we can put it in our commissioner's handbook.
Yes.
We're going to have another new commissioner next spring. And now I'm going to be the expert on what they can do. But it should be written down in a handbook.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you have commissioners that sit here for 20 years at a time, it may not be a big deal. But as they come and go now, I think it's important.
And maybe he could give us, he could give you copies of any forms that, that he thinks we need to take care of.
I was kind of left to my own devices to figure it out. It wasn't cool. So, I'm glad I did it, I guess. But now I have a campaign war chest of $25 in the Cape Cod Fire account. So
25 times.
And wonder if I'll ever get that money back. Probably not. I'll have to donate it to somebody. I'll donate it to the district.
I'm pretty sure we got some guy in Washington that pulls a whole lot more shenanigans than you would if you spent that $25 on lunch.
All right.
I gotta buy a sign.
Okay.
One sign.
All right, I think we had already set our next meeting.
Yeah,
right?
The 25th, wasn't it?
Sounds good.
Should be fine with the agenda.
5:30.
Just check my calendar to make sure.
Wednesday, October 24th.
24th, see, I was wrong. Yeah, the 24th, that's it.
24th is the Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah.
Does that work for everybody still?
Yep. All righty.
Great, and we'll expect an update from Tater and Howard on the cost of service study, addressing some of our questions. And
So is Ryan an engineer? Or?
Yes. He's an engineer, project manager.
And you've worked with him for a while? He seems like a smart kid.
He's done a couple projects with us. Him and a woman by the name of Megan...
Davis.
Smith? No.
Davis.
What is it?
Meg Davis.
Megan Davis, yes. Very nice girl. Is she still Davis? Is that her married name?
That's her married name.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what it was before that, but she came down and did the presentation to Jen and I and Ray at the time to go over to get some of these figures with Ryan. And she's been the one that we've been communicating back and forth with quite a bit on it and everything.
I have one thing that I guess it's something about came up a couple months ago. I was asked to request a copy of the report.
Yes.
Through 2 or 3 months ago, I wrote a written letter, formal letter, requesting a copy of that along with a cover letter. And it's been going on 3 months. I've not received anything yet. And I've been asked a number of times by the party that asked me to do that if I can keep on pressing to get that. And I am in the middle of something now. So I just...
I can... If we're going to be calling Shelley to do this... I can ask Charlie.
This is the auditor's report.
Yeah, the auditor's report to the manager, and with the manager's letter, you would ask for, I believe.
Okay.
Anything else? We'll go to the order.
Make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
Hi.
It was a long pause there. I didn't know what to do.
Catching my throat.
Did you get that over in 149 in the corner there? I saw you out there one afternoon walking around. Did they buy that over there? Nice. Well, they got to donate it. I don't know. Perry's old property, yeah. I saw that somebody taking it down. It looked like they were up on a ladder taking it down at one point. Ooh. Yeah. So I was going to say, yeah, I could see you might get some there.